I will be here from home, and I'll die in here.
Seven. Welcome to our group.
And this ought to show it right here.
Do you or someone you know suffer from depression? If so, please contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to our Surviving Medical broadcast with your host, our Colonel, Miss Kimberly Purvis. Our normal medical broadcasts are on Wednesday nights, but due to unforeseen circumstances, we couldn't do it Wednesday night, so we're here tonight for our Colonel to do the show. I hope everybody is enjoying their St. Patty's Day. Happy St. Patrick's Day to everyone. I hope this doesn't interfere with your goings-on, your partying, whatnot. And just remember, if you're out there partying, please be safe. Don't drink and drive. Call an Uber. Call anybody. Just don't get behind that wheel. Now, for those of you new just tuning in to us, we are a humanitarian American patriot group, not a militia. Check out our national Facebook page. All capital letters, Defenders 7. When you click on that join button, just know we expect all of our members and future members to participate throughout all we do here in the Defender 7. Check out and subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're on MeWe. Click on Community, scroll down. Defender 7, Humanitarian American Patriot Group. Now for tonight's show and all the shows we do here on Blog Talk Radio, we do enjoy it when you call in and participate. Join in on the conversation of the night or just to say hi. And that number is area code 914. 205-5773. Too shy to talk on the phone. We also have our very own chat room right here on Blog Talk that is also live during each of our broadcasts. By all means, either way, hop in. Come on in. Join in on the conversation. Have a good time with us. And without further ado, allow me to bring in your host, our Colonel, Ms. Kimberly Purvis.
Howdy, howdy.
Hey, hey.
So before we get started on the show, I'd just like to say today sucked ass. Aside from the fact that it was St. Patrick's Day, no, today really sucked. I'm just going to go, this is not the way I told you about it, Bobby, about how I started my day. You know, I went to a great concert last night. It was an amazing concert. It was Ben Fuller, We Are Messengers, and Casting Crowns. Absolutely amazing. I don't want to say simple, but, you know what I'm saying, nothing flashy and way out there like some of these, you know, big, huge singers. And I was blessed by it, and it was just amazing. So, funny story, ha-ha. So last weekend I was on call on Sunday, and my car crapped a bit. Wouldn't start, right? So nobody had sharper cables, and then some of my neighbors were gone to work, or they didn't have any cables. So I'm like, whatever. So I had to call my boss for my other job and say, hey, look, I can't go anywhere. My car's dead. And Pat had to work Sunday, which is not normal. And so I'm like, I have no way to go. So one of the other nurses, she came out to the house. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're in the market to buy a car, do not buy a 2018 Ford Escort. I'm Escape. Because
your first mistake was buying a Ford.
Oh, no. It's not the Ford. Oh, I love Fords. I have no problems with them. I have more problems with Chevy. No, I kid you not. Always had problems with Chevy. But, you know, when you race the hood of your car, you know that little dash or the hood, whatever part of the hood that's up there where your windshield wipers are, that piece with a where all the leaves get stuck in your on the hood of your car. Well,
yep.
This particular model of car, part of the motor is underneath that, including the damn battery.
Yeah.
So the only thing that's sticking out is the positive terminal. So you're wondering, how the hell do I dump this car? Well, you see, it's like this. You put the positive cable on the red, on the red, and then it's grounded from the negative terminal to the car, to the frame of the car, and that's where there's a bolt, and that's where so it looks like part of the battery is attached to the car. Well, in order to change the battery, you got to take off that whole hood part. Not the hood, but that big, it's the whole width of the car. So parts store can't do it. So I went all week long with, I had the battery got jumped, and, it had a few moments with it during the week, and I'm like, okay, God, one more day. Two or three more cranks, that's all I need. Well, let me tell you something. Last night on the way to this concert, and this is why I was mad. And when you're trying to start a car and the battery's dead and it goes, rrr, 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 wow, okay, your battery's dying, right? Well, it did that. But when you turn the key back towards you, it just kept on going. And I'm like, well, this is bullshit. Yeah. And so there is little things here and there that was telling me I knew, it could be electrical. Well, anyway, the car started and the battery got charged going from my work to home, which is about 25 minutes. And then I was able to shut the car off. I'm like, cool. I went to the concert. Let me tell you something. Yesterday morning, it was 61 degrees, right? I'll have you know, by 5 o'clock, it was 30 degrees.
Sure.
It went from 65 to 30 throughout the day. It literally dropped from 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock is when it dropped. So anyway, and it was 45-mile-an-hour wind gust. And I'm like, okay, I can do it with the 45-mile-an-hour wind gust. I don't really care. So I get to the arena, right, and I got to the front row parking is all handicapped, so I parked in the next row away. So I'm like, cool, no big deal. I sat there for a few minutes, and I said, I better put my heavier jacket on. It's a little windy. Within 15 minutes from me sitting there, I'll be damned, it starts snowing. With gale force wind, friggin' Arctic wind blowing, right? And, it looked like a literal blizzard, right, within a matter of minutes. And then so I walked to the line, and there must have been a couple hundred people already there. And so the doors are supposed to open at 6 o'clock. I'm like, no big deal. Well, them assholes didn't open the doors until 6:15. So in that 15-minute window, it went from snowing like blizzard snow to snow and ice. I'm going to tell you how much that sucks.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Thank God I put that jacket on. Everybody was soaked, freezing. One girl wore a dress, you know, above her knees and no jacket. I'm like, hello, stupid. Did you not see the weather? But so anyway, you know, after hypothermia set in, my fingers are frozen. So I get inside, you know, go to the concert. Was amazing. And I was at Baptist Hostel, you know, for a couple hours. And if you don't know what a Baptist Hostel is, it's pretty funny. I'm half Baptist, half Pentecostal. So it's a joke. It's funny, but, you know, some people know what it is. Anyway, go to the whole concert. Great night. I get outside. It's actually warmer. It's now 50 degrees outside by 10:30. So I'm like, and I'm directionally challenged. So I had to put my GPS on, and I realized, I'm like, I know which way I came in the damn parking lot. And I'm like, I got to make a left. Well, my GPS says make a right. So I get out, get the car started, go around the parking lot, and I make a right. Well, I'll be damned, I didn't go out the right entrance of the parking lot. I went out the side, which I should have went out the front, not the side. So when I went out the side, I'm like, where the hell am I going? So I get around, and it takes me to a dead end where they're doing construction. And I'm like, well, this sucks. So I turn the car around, and it takes me around the back way, and I come around back on the highway, and I'm like, wow, this is great, because it actually put me on the highway one exit up, and all 10,000 people are still sitting in the parking lot of the arena. So my screw-up actually saved my ass from having to sit there forever. So anyway, I get home. I finally get to bed by, I don't know, 1 o'clock, and could get a wind down. I had about a 45-minute drive home, and I got up this morning, and I'm like, you know, no, I'm not going to work until 8 o'clock. Every inch of my body hurt. I felt like I've gone 10 rounds with, the MMA fighter, O'Connor. And so I get to work at 7:45, and I'm, you know, doing all my morning paperwork and stuff, right? And one of the med aides upstairs calls me. She goes, and it's a mother and her daughter are both med aides, and they work upstairs. She goes, my mom just walked into so-and-so's room, and he's dead. I'm like, do what? She's like, yeah, he's dead. I'm like, you better friggin' be kidding right now. I said, because that man was fine yesterday when I left, and he was. But he only comes out for meals, and he very seldom comes out any other time. And so, no, he was dead. Dead, cold, rigid, and I hate to be so heartless, but, I mean, this man was in rigor. He probably passed at, like, 3 in the morning, between 3 and 5, for full rigor and to be snow white, ice cold. So that was not cool. And so I'm like, I just went off, and I'm like, I'm over this crap, because, you know, the importance of making rounds. If you're in the healthcare field, you've got to make your rounds. And so the day shift was trying to throw shade on the night shift. Well, they get all this extra money. They should have been doing rounds. I'm like, did you make your 6 o'clock rounds? No. They would have found him at 6 a.m. had they done their morning round. So now I hope there's not going to be an investigation and all that. But they think he OD'd. So, I mean, it's like, wow, what the hell? So my day literally stopped, and I just went, and it's Friday, and I freaking, 5 new admissions, or 5 people got sent out that we had in the hospital. They decided to dump them on us all at once on Friday. So I'm like, I'm done. I'm leaving at 3. I left work at 3 o'clock to go and get my car fixed and spend $300 to have a new battery put in. So needless to say, moral of the story, don't buy a Ford. Buy a Ford Escape, because it's not worth the aggravation. But it did fix all my problems. So I'm hoping it was the battery, not the electrical system. Or, you know what I'm saying? I thought it might be the ignition relay. So, yeah. We shall see. So, anywho, with all that BS, so I thought we'd do survival medicine. And then come to find out, I can't find my survival medicine book. So I got one of them. But I went out and I bought some pretty good survival medicine books. So you could go on the web, on the internet, and there are some amazing actually, there's so many survival everything books. And a few doctors had made a bunch of these books. And so they have emergency preparedness for any disaster. They have one for this is just a few years. So they've got everything. Or you can actually go on a website, and I found it, and if anybody wants the web address, I can send it to them and send the link. But there's, hold on, 600? Hold on. 906 survival guides, and they're all in the PDF, right? So you can put it on anything. And the website is called SCP Survival, SeasonedCitizenPrepper.com, right? And you can literally go down. They have, so in this whole entire thing, then they have military and combat tactical, and there's 51 different downloads. So there's 51 different PDFs that you can pick and go through them. They have wilderness survival books. And they're free. Food and storage, homestead skills, emergency medicine. I mean, literally, there is just. So on under the military, there's U.S. Army Survival Manuals, Special Forces, Self Defense, and Hand to Hand Combat, terrorism, nuclear, military trades and skills, like concrete masonry. I did not know they have an MOS for that, but apparently they do. So there's MPs, Urban Preparation Kit. They even have a Marine Winter Survival Course, a Summer Survival Course, Guerrilla Warfare. I mean, literally... There are downloads for everything. So with the way things are going right now in the world, and here's the other thing. It's not just enough to have this for, what you call being a prepper or shit hits the fan situation. This is for anything because natural disasters can happen, right? We've gone over multiple shows on surviving hurricanes, tornadoes, what else, blizzards, flooding. So it has all cold weather survival, wilderness survival. I mean, so anyway, this is an awesome website to get. They even have gardening and food production. So it's an amazing website to have. So I bookmarked this for myself. And it did not look in here. Bookmark it again, damn it. So then there's another book I got, and it's called The Home Doctor. And This could be for, like I said, any situation that you may have. just in case you're in a third world country, or for some of you who hate doctors, there's basic things that you can do at home that you may need, you know. But here's the thing: if you're going to buy these books, don't assume that, like we've talked about every other show, that you have every single one of these issues. So, but this is mostly for trauma and things like that. Like for instance, how do I recognize a skull fracture? Aside if you have a skull fracture, and the most obvious sign is your head feels like Rice Krispies, and you could feel it and see it. Well, that's the biggest indication right there. But just say you have a hairline fracture in your skull, right? Just say, I don't know, God forbid you get hit in the head with a baseball or a bat or an accident. You could fall and get a skull fracture. Well, so the easiest and quickest way to recognize a fracture is, an x-ray. But just say you can't get to, say you're camping and you're in the middle of the friggin' woods, right? And you can't get to the hospital, right? So there's other ways you could tell if you have a skull fracture, okay? So, let's see. When a fall with a blow to the skull occurs, you have to feel the entire area with both hands. And like I said, now, if you have naturally have a bumpy head, well, it's a little harder. And so some people have little indentations in their head. So feel your head. Take your fingers and use both hands and feel around your head. You can feel the suture lines, how they're fused together. You can feel all that. Some people have on the back of their head a flat spot. Their head's naturally flat. So this is why it's important to know this thing about yourself or your family. So many skull fractures don't require hospitalization or special treatment beyond common painkillers and rest. Like I said, if it's a hairline fracture, they don't put your head in a cap, okay? They just don't. It's one of those body parts you just don't put. Like if you have skull facial fractures, do you think they're going to put your face in a cast?
Okay, maybe
they should.
I think we need to put one on Bobby.
Honestly, I really think they should on some people, but no, they don't. So skull fractures, facial fractures, they don't put you in a cast, okay? So... when a fracture is at the base of the skull, the characteristic is what they call raccoon eyes. And you have two big black circles around your eyes. Why they call it raccoon eyes. Okay? After the trauma, you'll get it. The patient will have black circles under the eyes. And it'll actually be underneath the eye, and it will be the eyelid itself. And it will literally look like you just took a marker and just blackened your eye. And that's the bruise that's forming inside the skull. And for those of you who like pictures, yes, there's pictures in this book. It's pretty cool. And they're colored. They're not black and white. So in case of a fracture of the temporal lobe, which is the lateral part of the skull, the side of your skull, the bruise will be behind the ear. So you will literally have a bruise behind your ear. That's another way of telling. So other signs, like fluid leaking out through the nose or the ears, are important when thinking about a skull fracture, like spinal fluid. And spinal fluid has a particular smell. And I can't remember where it was at, and they're like, it tastes. I'm like, I am not tasting that shit. But yes, I have, and I'm like, I ain't doing it. But if you do have clear fluid coming out of your ears or your nose, you really do need to get help as fast as possible. So the treatment of skull fractures is expected. The patient should be continually monitored for at least 4 hours, even if they look like they're okay.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Walking, talking, you know, completely normal, like nothing happened.
Yeah, so, Gordon can't walk and talk. We're walking and chew gum at the same time.
Walk,
pretty much.
Talk, read a book and chew gum? Try that.
Pretty
walk,
much.
Yes.
Talk, read a book.
So,
do what?
She breaks her toes.
I know. I felt like I re-broke it the other night, too.
So, yeah, I mean, so just say Lorna's walking, hiking in the woods, if she'd never do that, and she falls, busts her head, and she has just a little cut, and you put a Band-Aid on it, voila, you just start going, and then all of a sudden, Lorna's speech is slurred. That's not normal for Lorna. Well, unless she's drinking. So we're just going to say she's not drinking at the time. She hasn't taken any, you know, any other things other than Tylenol or ibuprofen. Her speech is slurred. Her speech is slurred. Yes, my speech is slurred, and I can't speak English today. so just say she's, you know, you start getting dizzy, lightheaded. Your speech, it's all garbled, and, you know, you're not sounding right. Your balance is off. Well, guess what? One, that's a concussion, most likely. So, yeah, you bruise your brain, so you would have to definitely go in to get emergency help. So that's what we're talking about. So you could be walking, talking, and being 100% fine. You know, and but like I said, for at least 4 hours. I don't know, because here's the thing. My kid's aunt fell down like 3 or 4 steps, hit her head. And this is why I say it's important. She hit her head on the stairs or in the basement, and they took her to the ER, and she had a really bad headache, right? Well, here's the thing. They took her, they kept her for a while, and they sent her home. And they just said, just watch her for a little while and whatever. And they gave her some pain medicine and sent her away. Well, guess what? Before daybreak of the next day, she ended up back in the ER because they found her unresponsive and not breathing. She had an aneurysm or a brain bleed, and she died. So this is why it's important to pay attention to things. Now, if you hit your head every time, does that mean you're going to have a brain bleed? No. But they just wrote it off as a concussion, headache, and sent her home. So that's why I said it's very important to pay attention. Remember back in the day, they would say, keep someone awake for at least 4 hours. You know, now they're saying, if it's depending on the time of the day, let them go ahead and go to sleep and just try to arouse them every 15 minutes to an hour, and it'll be good. I don't know. Personally speaking, I like the old way. Not letting them go to sleep if they hit their head, you know. But anywho, but that's something that's in this book. So it's pretty cool, and, you know, to have, and I think I'm going to make me a survival bag with the book, and that way I can, and I got to find my other one. It's probably my packing in my garage with the 400 other freaking boxes I got in there. But, so we've gone over many, many, many different med bag, first aid kit, all of that. You know, you could have anything in your med, your first aid kit. I have an ungodly amount of first aid stuff. I could treat a small militia with the amount of first aid stuff that I have. But here's the thing. I actually use it. You know, I've had to use my first aid bags. I have one in each of our cars, and I have the rest of my stuff in my house. And I have it put up into different categories of what I have. You can go anywhere and get first aid supplies. Okay? Depending on what it is exactly that you want to have in your medic bag, depends on where you're going to go get your supplies. Now, you can go to the Dollar Tree, the Dollar General, Family Dollar, Walmart, anywhere in the world, anywhere you want to go and get these supplies. But here's the thing. They add up quickly. Okay. Now, some of these first aid bags that you may find are great, but if you look what's actually in them, it's actually, I don't know, I think it's extortion. Because you get like, what was it, $20, you can get like 5 Band-Aids, one Curlex wrap, and a bunch, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of stupid. But those little ones are kind of good to have, like, as a starter, and get your own stuff. So, like, just say you're going to go hiking. You can have a big, huge medic bag to keep in your car or at home, and make a small little travel one for when you go out and have a little bit of, you know what I'm saying, Band-Aid, scissors, whatever. So so here's the thing. If you're going to make lists, and this is what me and my son have done, we've made lists of everything that we need to buy for as preppers. Whatever you want to call it, I don't care. You have all your food items. You have your medical supplies. Emergency things, like we've got over this, like bleach. You know, your cleaners, bleach, Lysol. Because don't forget, when the pandemic hit, you couldn't find bleach anywhere. I don't know about you guys. There was no bleach. There was no Lysol. There was no hand sanitizer. They were shutting liquor factories down, and they were distilling hand sanitizer and using their liquor bottles to make hand sanitizer. So, I mean, so it's little things like that. So you could stock up on all of that crap, and it's not going to go bad. Just make sure you store it in a well-ventilated area where it doesn't get hot and shit like that. So... what else? Fishing supplies. God forbid something happens. You don't need to fish. If you don't fish, well, then that's, you know, whatever. But there are things. Always make a list. And the important thing about making a list is you can always go back and say, oh, crap, I forgot this, and add it to your list. As you start buying stuff, just check it off. But you got it. And make sure when you put it up, you store it in marked containers so you know what's what and what's, you know. So, anyway, did you know, I don't know if you guys knew this, oral antibiotics. Well, everything has a shelf life, believe it or not. Everything does. But certain medications can last for years upon years upon years. We've already gone over this too. There's very few items. There's very few things that you cannot use after the expiration date. One is aspirin, I do believe. I think that's what Phil was saying. Something about aspirin. I forgot what it was. Why you cannot? You shouldn't take aspirin after the expiration date. Liquid medications you're not supposed to use, like cough medicines, those Advil liquid gels. Anything with liquid, you can't keep after or any too long of a period after the expiration date. But for the most part, you could even look it up. List of medications that last after the expiration date. Now, here's the thing. There are some medications that you could take 15 years after it expires. Here's the catch. I have a bottle of Tylenol, 7 years old, over the expiration date. It still works, right? The thing is, it loses its potency after time. So, like 2 extra strength Tylenol, it doesn't work the same as if you were to buy a brand new bottle of 2 extra strength Tylenol, if you know what I mean. So it kind of like, I don't know how much the potency goes away. I'm not a chemist. I'm not a pharmacist, nor do I claim to be one. But it still works. So, but if you just say some big, huge disaster happens, God forbid, and we lose all technology or, you know, something extremely devastating happens, right, even if it's a natural disaster, did you know that you could take fish antibiotics that they put in fish tanks?
No.
The same antibiotics that pets take, humans take. Well, actually, let me rephrase that. Pets take the same antibiotics and medications that people take. They take Vistaril for anxiety. Well, you can take it for anxiety. Itching is what Vistaril is usually used for. It's itching, right? Well, my dog's on Prozac. Guess where I got the Prozac? I did not get it from the vet. I got it from the damn drugstore. The same Prozac that people take, my dog takes. She takes 20 milligrams, 2 pills. Same damn drugs. So, but there are, if you like, your co-ops and stores like that, Petco, all of those, they do sell fish antibiotics, horse, you know, ivermectin. Guess what? I know what I'm supposed to talk about. Too bad. Ivermectin, they make for horses and for humans. You know what the difference is? The one for horses is in a, it's in a paste, right? In a paste? Yeah. And you have to dose it to what a human, I guess it tastes like ass. Oh. never tried it. but yeah. So also another big thing is your apothecary stores. It's very big. And then that's where they have all the herbal stuff. And that's the other thing I got to find, because I got 2 books on herbal antibiotics and herbal medicine. And believe it or not, so what do you think they used back in the day before they had medicine? They used herbs. Dandelion. What else? A whole shit ton of different herbs. Milk thistle. I've got a book on foods that heal. Elderberry. I mean, there's so much stuff. And so I get now why people go to, look in here, see if I can find my books. No, these are all my cookbooks. I gotta find them. I'm mad. I spent a fortune on these damn books. On the average, you'll probably spend $25 to $50 on a book, depending on what exactly it is that you're looking for. But yeah, I mean, it literally has everything. It has, stuff for allergies. It tells you what to make for allergies. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just from everything, from a common cold, honey, for instance, and I'm going to be scatterbrained right now because I got to make dinner, so I'm going to have to just walk and talk at the same time. So, yeah, honey is a natural antiseptic. Why do you think a lot of people will use when you put honey in your teeth, right? Not to make a hot toddy. Of course, a hot toddy will kill anything in your body. For those of you who don't know what a hot toddy is, I take it you guys know what hot toddies are?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's in a hot toddy, Bobby? I'm putting you on the
blackberry
spot. What's in a hot toddy? Huh?
Blackberry brandy, a little honey, and tea bag tea.
That's it? Just three items?
Yep.
What? I mean, you can have
more.
Whatever you want.
But the main ingredient is honey.
Yeah.
Main ingredient is brandy.
Yeah, the main ingredient is brandy.
Now, so question for those who don't know, I mean, I've done it, so I'm not going to, you know. So say you've never made a hot toddy before, right? Is it all brandy or do you make the tea with water and then add the brandy and the honey after?
Yeah.
Okay. No,
yeah,
I'm seriously because
first.
No. The reason why I'm asking is because there's going to be some jackass that will make the tea bag with the brandy. if you know what I mean.
That'd be more.
This is the reason why. No, seriously. This is the reason why we have warning labels on friggin' everything in the world. So, yeah. Because some jackass made a hot toddy probably with all brandy. Yeah, so make your tea, and then ask, so how much brandy would you need for that?
It depends on what you're trying to treat, but if it's like a flu symptom,
yeah.
I usually shot.
Oh, a shot, okay. Well, it's been about 8 years since the last time I've made one, so I don't quite remember how much to use, honestly.
If you feel really like shit, I'll even add a second shot.
Oh, okay. I kid you not, when I made this damn thing, I think I just opened the bottle and poured. I don't.
That's my kind of hot
toddy. More than a hot toddy. It was a hot shot.
Yeah. Hey, when I get the feeling like I'm coming down with bronchitis or something, and I'll make one. And I'll make it real strong, and I guarantee you, the next morning when I wake up, all the symptoms are gone.
Okay, and true, right? So here's the other thing. Like I said, with the honey as a natural antiseptic, why do you think people, like when they make their hot tea, they put honey? I'll use honey instead of sugar. One, so I don't have to use sugar, but because it helps like as an antibiotic. So there's a little concoction that I did find a while ago. I found it in my book of herbal medicine. And so if you take like 2 cups of honey, 2 teaspoons of ground turmeric. Hold on, I'm looking at my stuff here. Yeah. 2 teaspoons of cinnamon. 2 teaspoons of ginger, 2 teaspoons of vanilla, and hold on, it was turmeric, cinnamon, ginger, honey, and a splash of vanilla. Now, here's the thing. You mix it up, and when you mix it up, and you use raw honey. Don't use all that, fancy shit. Get you raw honey. It's better. And raw honey lasts forever as long as you keep the lid closed and don't get air to it. But you mix it up. If you put it in the refrigerator,
you know what,
it's going to get... What?
You know what else is good? What honey's good for?
What?
If your dog has diarrhea, sprinkle a little bit of it on his food.
Okay, why?
Because apparently the 100%, you know, pure honey, it acts like Imodium D does on humans.
Oh, okay. Which is weird because I thought, well, now here with that, like when people get diarrhea, you want to avoid sugar at all costs.
Right.
Because
yes.
The sugar causes more diarrhea. So unless it's sugar and not honey, if you know what I mean. So that could be something different. But yeah. Oh, so when you make this whole concoction, when you put it in the fridge, it will congeal and get really super thick. So you'll have to let it stir it up really good. It's going to be thicker than molasses, so you may not want to do that. I keep it out, and if you make it in small batches. You could like make a big batch and then take a small little, I use a mason jar. You can get those small little ones and then leave it on the counter or on, you know what I'm saying? So it stays at room temperature. You take a teaspoon of it every 4 to 6 hours and it will knock out whatever it is that you have.
I always put honey in my coffee.
Ew. Really?
No, it's actually pretty good.
Is it?
Yeah. I don't overpower the coffee. I just put a little bit in there just to taste.
Oh, okay.
And Bobby's no witness.
Yeah. So something to do if you have heartburn.
Baking soda.
Well, besides, so say you don't have baking soda or you don't like it because it tastes like ass, because it does.
it works like immediately, though. I've done it.
No, I know. So say you don't have Tums or Rolaids or any of that good stuff. Go eat a teaspoon of mustard, yellow mustard.
I've heard that before. Don't do vinegar. I've heard that before with mustard. And it says it takes some vinegar, and the people that I've known that's tried it said that makes it 10 times worse.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Do you know what's in the mustard? Vinegar.
Huh. That's weird.
It's not the mustard seed. It's not the mustard seed. It's the vinegar. The only difference is mustard don't taste like ass. I say everything tastes like ass if it don't taste good. But
I've never tasted ass before, so I don't know.
I haven't either, but, you know, it's just one of those sayings. it tastes like what the ass smells like. How's that? But, no, seriously. Mustard will help with heartburn or any of that. Or baking soda. Also, turmeric is good for your stomach.
Turmeric is good for everything. I love turmeric.
Yeah, it is. And you can buy, as a matter of fact, I went to, hold on, let's see where this is from. I went to, Ross. And they, you know, Ross always, if you go in the houseware, they have seasoning. And I found turmeric, parsley, and saffron. And oh my God. That's the best shit I've ever had. But yeah, turmeric's good for your stomach as well. So for foods that heal, pineapple is actually good for sports injuries, believe it or not. Pineapple juice, and here's the thing, if you're going to do the pineapple, try to do the pineapple, like the pineapples itself, because your juices are going to have all the sugar in them. So you want to avoid all of that crap. But there's a book, it's called Foods That Heal, and I kid you not, that's a lifesaver book to have, and it literally has everything in it. There are so many different, like, it tells you what all the antioxidants are for, and all of that. So try to think what else is good for food-wise, and we'll go back to the first aid kit. Well, if I can think of it, I'll go back to it. So your first aid kit. So aside from, you can go and buy, here's the thing, if you're going to do this, even though you buy it to keep it stocked up, I wouldn't go crazy stupid with, you know, those big huge bottles of Tylenol and Motrin and all that. Use them. Don't just stock them up and leave them. Go ahead and use them, and then, you know what I'm saying? So just so say you bought, you know how you can buy, what is it, the 500 count or 1,000 count? Go ahead and use it. And then have a backup. And then as you run out of that bottle, and then buy another one, and then use one of your older ones. I would have 4 bottles of all of them, like Benadryl. Don't get liquid because, like I said, once liquid expires, you can't use it. But there's different things. Your vitamins. You could do a multivitamin, and supposedly they all have everything you need. And there are different vitamins that are better than others. Century makes a great one, and you get 100% of pretty much everything you need. Like if you look at most vitamins, shut up. It'll be like 10% of this and 1,000% of that. I'm like, I don't need 1,000% vitamin C. What I need is all my other stuff. So Century does put out, it's C-E-N-T-R-Y. And it's a green and white, it's a white bottle with green writing. But they put out a great one-a-day vitamin. So yeah, you can buy all that stuff. Make sure when you start out, if you want to start out simple, you want your Band-Aid, Steri-Strip, 4x4s, 2x2s. If you know what a 4x4 is, it's a 4-inch by 4-inch little gauze. They have 2x2s, gauze wraps. There's different types of gauze wraps. So if you, depending on what you want to get into, it's up to you. Now, some people can't use that mesh gauze. You know, I'm talking about those big bulky rolls. Some people can't use that. So take into consideration what you can and can't have. So then you have, you know, your Curlex wraps, the gauze that goes all the way around for like burns, cuts, whatever. Abdominal pads. They have different sizes, different absorbencies of gauze pad. I mean, abdominal pads. Sterile saline. Those are really good to have. It's good to have a bottle of peroxide. What else? And I'm talking simple in here. For simple, you want scissors, different types of scissors, medical shears. Yeah, alcohol. You want an alcohol pad or bottles of alcohol. The reason why I say both, and if you can get the higher percentage of alcohol, the better. So I think simple here. What else? Oh, like I said, spaceships, God, tons of God. I bought a can. Oh, here's the other thing. If you're getting, when you start getting into the bigger supplies and stuff, go online to your medical supply stores. McKesson is another, is a big one, and they're pretty cheap. I'm trying to, just type up medical supply companies. You don't need, here's the thing, you can buy from those because a lot of hospitals, home health companies, and stuff buy from them. But here's the thing, when you get into certain items, you actually have to have a medical license to get it, to buy the stuff. Oh, crap. Hold on a second. Hold on one second, guys. Go ahead. I got to take this call real quick.
All right, go for it.
Holy Hannah, my spaghetti's got a bite to it. Holy shit. Three jalapenos in it and a hot, one hot Rotel and one mild with chilies in it.
Right.
My lips are burning. Yeah, I freaking lost that girl that I'm job coaching today. Oh, my day started out shitty. My truck doors were closed shut on my truck, so I tried putting the starting in with my automatic starter, and I didn't know that you can only do that twice and then it don't start again. So I figured, okay, I'll wait for a bit and then try to start it later. Well, it didn't reset, didn't do nothing. So I had to dump hot water on my door to get in. So I didn't get to work till 9. Freezing cold out. My pants got soaked. My jacket got soaked. Thank God it was waterproof. I wore my winter boots the rest of the day. Get to work, do our thing, and at the end of the day, she tells me that I don't need to bring her home because her mom is going to pick her up. Okay, so I told her, okay, go back, punch out, and grab your stuff. I'm going to grab my bag. I'll meet you back there. I grabbed my bag, and I was like 2 seconds behind her, and I could not find her anywhere. I walked all over that frickin' store, and I remembered her that her sister works at the Subway. So I walked that way, and there she was sitting in Subway. So I didn't get to even get out of there until like 4:30.
Damn.
Okay, I'm back. cake. Cake's another thing that's important. There's different types of cake. Now, remember we were talking about, hey, know who all you got to have stuff for? Now, remember, there's a lot of people that's allergic to latex. A lot of products are made from latex. Gloves, for one thing. Oh, yeah, and gloves are another thing. So they're trying to make gloves that are latex-free. So just read your box. But a lot of your syringes, the plungers on the inside, guess what? Those are made out of latex. So now they're trying to get away from all latex and, you know, splints are another good thing to have, different types of splints. But don't forget, you can always make splints out of different things. Moleskin, they have rolls of moleskin, or you could buy it in little patches, and that's for blisters. And if you're in the military, well, you know how important moleskin is. CPR masks, they do make reusable CPR masks. And so the thing about those is if you get the reusable ones, all you got to do is sterilize them with alcohol or, believe it or not, bleach, but make sure you rinse it off really well. So preferably alcohol is the best thing to use to sterilize. Paracord.
I ain't wasting my alcohol.
Huh?
I ain't wasting my alcohol.
Mm-hmm. You're not bleaching your alcohol?
I'm not wasting it.
I'm talking about rubbing alcohol, smart ass. Well, I'll go into that in a little bit. Antibacterial soap actually doesn't really matter because now it's not a big deal. You know, they're like just regular soap is good. There's chlorhexidine, the same shit they use in hospitals for IVs. A little sponge, it's clear. It's strong as shit. There's Hibiclen. It's in a blue bottle and it's pink. It's what they use for surgery. You can buy that stuff over the counter. You can buy it at Walmart or any pharmacy. And it's really good to have. And speak of Hibiclen, antiseptics. It's talking about Hibiclen is great. You could get disposable cervical collars, N95 masks. Believe it or not, they're for different uses. So, let's see. Oh, those Kelly clamps. Those are good to have, the forceps. Those are really good to have, believe it or not. Safety pins, magnifying glass, thermometers, tourniquets only if you know how to use them. We've already gone over that. What's one place you never use a tourniquet?
Head.
Round your throat.
Huh? Yeah, your neck.
Round your throat.
Your head. Yeah, do not use a tourniquet on your neck or your head.
I'm going to use a tourniquet on Bobby's neck.
Or your, you know, here's the other thing. You only use tourniquets on your arms and legs. You use pressure dressings for your torso or your head. Now, depending on where you live, snake bite kit. You're gonna want to gear your medical bag to where you live. You know, smelling salt is another good thing to have. So those are just basic things. And like I said, if you go on this website, it has everything, literally. And it's called an exhaustive list of survival medicine. They even have stuff for dental care, dental floss, dental mirror, baking soda, peroxide. I mean, there's just so much stuff. I might have to cut this one short. I don't know what my dog's going retarded over. But yeah, this is a pretty cool. You know what? I might actually do this. I might print it out, and I'll post it in our Facebook page,
there
so people
go.
Can have it. Yeah, and then what I'll do is I'll print out the 667 free survival PDF manual, and you could just go and look it up yourself. You know, but yeah, but like I said, I could probably do another show on this next week and just continue on with this because there's just so much shit with survival medicine.
Oh,
and I'm going to try and find my books because I didn't realize I don't have them in the house. and we could go over more. As a matter of fact, you know what I might even do? Is we might do some more trivia.
Yes.
If you guys want to try that. Some survival trivia.
Yeah, but Norman cheats. He uses Google.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Even if you cheat and use Google, if you're looking it up and you're seeing what you're... Ow, dog! Stop! You're looking it up, and that's the good thing. So... Oh, my God. So, I am going to...
Wind. I wish the wind would stop. God.
Make it stop. Oh, something else that's important to have. Epsom salt.
I always have some of that.
Yeah, Epsom salt is something good to have in your house. So that and vinegar in general is always good to have. Dog, I'm going to beat you to death. I'm fighting for a freaking a monster dog here. So, but, yeah, we could go ahead and cut the show short tonight, and we'll pick it up Wednesday so I could do the whole 2 hours, and I'll have my other book, and we'll do some trivia along with going
awesome.
Over some more with some other stuff. So, yeah, Pat's about to get home, and... You can tell I can't hear shit. So, yeah, we'll do it on Wednesday.
All right, Kim. Thanks for doing the show tonight as usual. And Lorna, as usual, thanks for being that major asshole you are.
You know what? I'm good at it.
Again, everybody happy St. Patrick's Day. If you
don't drink and drive.
Don't drink and drive. Yes. Call an Uber.
That's against the law in Wisconsin.
It's against the law everywhere.
I was being sarcastic. Everybody drinks and drives around here.
But anyhow, enjoy the rest of your night. God bless y'all. God bless America. God bless our children, first responders, our veterans, military, the mission. And God bless the defenders. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.